بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا نقتبس من نوركم قيل ارجعوا وراءكم فالتمسوا نورا فضرب بينهم بسور له باب باطنه فيه الرحمة وظاهره من قبله العذاب ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور فاليوم لا يؤخذ منكم فدية ولا من الذين كفروا مأواكم النار هي مولاكم وبئس المصير ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها قد بينا لكم الآيات إن كنتم تعقلون. قد بينا لكم الآيات لعلكم تعقلون. وقال تبارك وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected sisters and mothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life. Life in itself is one of Allah's greatest favours and blessings upon us. Yet, as we find ourselves today, here on this planet Earth, enjoying life, breathing, living, hearing, listening, seeing, smelling, touching, experiencing, and living life in general, we, both as men and as women, we look around us and we ask ourselves, why are we here? What am I doing here? Why do I live? Why do I exist? Why am I here rather than not being here? Why do I exist rather than never having existed and never destined to exist? What makes me a human being? What makes me tick? What makes me live? What makes me think? Why do I find myself here? Where did I come from and where am I going? Undoubtedly, these are just some of the many questions that inevitably pass through the mind and heart of any human being. Every one of us, both men and women, Muslim or non-Muslim, we want to know the origin of our existence, our final destination, the purpose of our existence, the process through which we came into existence. And we all require answers, we all seek explanations that will help us come to realize and come to know why we are here, why we live. Now, we can get our answer from many different sources. Either we look to each other and we believe in each other. Either we believe in the word of the philosophers and the poets of the past. Or we believe in the philosophers and the scientists of the modern age. Or we take our lesson of the purpose of our existence, the origins of our existence, and our final destination from the men of science and the men of modern life. We have either that choice, or we have a choice of taking our lesson and deriving and gaining our answers and explanations from Allah, who is our creator, our sustainer, who brought us into existence, and who has planned a life and a journey for us, and he will take us to our destination. Now, in order to understand the purpose of our existence, we have to go back very far. And if we believe the men of science, then we are told that we descended from animals. We descended from apes. We are advanced apes. We are advanced animals. And that's all we are. Now, before I continue, some of you may think that what does this have to do with the title of today's talk, which is Ambitions of a Muslim Woman? I'll explain. You see, knowing the origins of one's existence, helps you understand your final destiny. Knowing where you have come from and where you are heading to will also help you plan your life. It will help you mould your life. It will give you a sense of direction. It will give you a purpose. And this purpose of life, this sense of direction, will help you understand what you should be doing in life, what your dreams, your hopes, your ambitions, your aspirations, your goals and objectives in life should be. That is a connection. And this is why when we look at the lives of the non-Muslims who do believe the men of science and who do believe that their origins lie in the amoeba, in water, in prehistoric life, their origins lie in the secrets and the process of evolution, and that they have descended from apes, and before the apes, more cruder forms of life. Those who believe in this philosophy of existence, their ambitions, their goals, their objectives, their direction, their sense of direction, their purpose in life, all of these things are controlled, coloured and regulated and dictated by this philosophy of existence. Therefore, when they believe, and if we, Allah forbid, if we adopt that belief that we have descended from the animals, we are advanced, we are an advanced species of the animals. We have descended from the apes, and we are no better than the other species of animals that exist on earth. If that is our belief, if that is our understanding of the origin of our existence, then this means that it will be a complete philosophy. We will then believe that just like the animals, just like there was no life before our existence, there will be no life after our death. And just like the animals live in the world in order to survive, to procreate, to continue their progeny, their generations, and their lineage, and their bloodline. And whilst they live, they are only engaging in the exercise of survival. And that means they survive. They eat, they drink, they procreate, they reproduce, and they live amongst themselves merely as an exercise of survival. And it's a question of the survival of the fittest. And if it means a survival of the fittest, then just like in the animal kingdom, anything and everything goes, anything and everything is permissible, anything, any means can be adopted in order to justify the end of survival, the end goal of survival. If we believe in that philosophy, then we will descend, we will stoop, and we will allow ourselves to degenerate to the level of the animals, whose only purpose of life on earth is to survive, to live, to enjoy life, to eat, to drink, to procreate, and to die. That's it. And then before life there was nothing, beyond death there is nothing. We can either adopt this belief and this philosophy of our existence, which we take from the men of science and from modern day society, or we can turn to Allah and believe and accept the explanation of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that you have not descended from animals, and you are not just merely an advanced species of animals. Rather, Allah has blessed you. Allah has enlightened you. Allah has made you and your existence blessed. Allah has given you a lofty, noble, and a very divine purpose in life. Your origins are divine, and your destination is divine. Your origins are celestial, and your life should be celestial, and your destination is celestial. And that, like I said, if we want to understand the purpose of our existence, the purpose of our life, the sense of direction, and some idea of our final destination, then we need to go back a long, long time ago. Not to the time of the Big Bang and the explosion and the expansion of the universe when life first came into being, if we are to believe the men of science. No, we are to go back to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Having created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah placed him in Jannah, and Allah told him, as is mentioned in many verses of the Quran, and if just to quote one verse, Allah azza wa jal says, وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغْدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. Allah said, Allah said to Adam, O Adam, you and your wife, our mother Hawa, عليه الصلاة والسلام, you and your wife, you both live and reside in the gardens of Jannah. Go and travel and roam freely in Jannah wherever you may wish. But Allah told them, وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. However, I have placed one restriction and prohibition on you. Do not come close to this tree. If you do, you will both become unjust and sinful. And before the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, we need to go back to the devil, Iblis, Shaytan. He was not an angel. He was always a jinn. And Iblis had climbed the ranks by worshipping Allah. When Allah created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and instructed the angels and the rest of creation, including Iblis, to prostrate to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Iblis, Shaytan, refused. And he did so out of arrogance. And he said, Allah asked him, why did you refuse to prostrate? Why did you refuse to do my bidding? Why did you disobey my command? Why did you rebel against my authority? To all of this, Shaytan, Iblis's only answer was, O Allah, I am better than Adam. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Why should fire prostrate to clay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Iblis to leave Jannah, to leave the heavens. Allah banished him. And after he banished him, Iblis made a promise to Allah. And Iblis said, O Allah, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, just as you have led me astray and misguided me, I shall sit in your straight path, in their way, and I shall lead them astray. And in one verse he told Allah, O Allah, I will lead them astray just as you have led me astray. And in this verse, as Allah says, quotes him, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. I shall come to them from in front of them, from behind them, from their right hand side and from their left hand side, and you will not find many of them grateful. Allah told him, you do as you wish. You do as you wish. And you can make what promise you want to them. I will fill Jahannam with you and those who follow you. From that moment onwards, Iblis had made it his mission of life, till the day he enters Jahannam, that he will not go alone, but he will take from amongst mankind as many as he can. And from that moment onwards, the struggle began. The struggle between good and evil. The struggle between Allah's forces and the forces of Shaytan, Iblis. The struggle began for the hearts and the minds of men. Are the hearts and the minds of men captured by the love of Allah and the message of Allah, or are they captured by Iblis and his forces? From that very moment, Iblis began his work, and the first people he targeted were our parents, our father and mother, Sayyidina Adam and Ummu Hawa alayhim salatu wasalam. He crept to them, and he whispered to them, and he told them. He wanted to lead them astray. He wanted to make them naked. He wanted to unclothe them. He wanted to embarrass them and shame them and disgrace them. So he told Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Ummu Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam that, do you know this tree that Allah has forbidden you to eat from and to even approach and come near? Do you know why he has done so? And he told our parents, قَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. He said to our parents that your Lord has not prevented you from approaching this tree except for the fact that if you do partake of the fruit of this tree, if you do eat the fruit of this tree, you will both become angels and you will enjoy everlasting life. And he also swore to them, وَقَاسَمُهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. And he swore to them, and he pledged to them, that indeed, I am sincere in what I am saying to you. Your interest and your welfare are at my heart. I have your best interests at heart, and I have your welfare at heart. فَدَلَّاهُمَا بِغُرُورِ. And thus, Shaytan, as Allah says in the Qur'an, was successful in misguiding and leading our parents astray through ghurur, through deception, through guile. And they both ate of the tree. And when they did, فَلَمَّا ذَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. As soon as they ate from the tree, Shaytan was successful in unclothing them, in stripping them, in making them naked, and in disgracing them, embarrassing them, and making them shameful. And as soon as they ate from the tree, Allah Azza wa Jal says, their clothes slipped from them. And the private parts, and the nakedness, and the unclothed nature of both man and woman both became apparent to each other. And out of shame, having been disgraced in this manner, having been unclothed and made naked, both our parents began grabbing the leaves of the trees of Jannah in order to cover themselves. Then Allah Azza wa Jal told them that now you must leave Jannah and you must descend upon the earth. And once you descend upon the earth, for you and your children, for you and your progeny, there shall be a limited time of existence in which you shall be tested. And when my guidance will come to you and your children, those who accept my guidance, they shall return to their original abode of Jannah. And those who do not accept my guidance, those who follow the deception of Shaytan and who believe in his promises, for them, there will be no return to their original divine and celestial abode of Jannah, of paradise. Rather, for them, their return is to the fire of hell, along with Iblis, along with Shaytan. And thus Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salatu was-salam, our parents, came and descended upon the earth. And Allah Azza wa Jal told them, قُلْنَا حْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. We said to them, all of you descend. And وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينَ. Allah says in the verse, only for a limited time for you, O Adam and Hawa and your children, there will be a place of residence and there will be a means of enjoyment and deception, but only for a limited time. This is the story of our origin of existence. This is the story of why we find ourselves on planet Earth. This is the explanation for why we are here rather than not being here. Why we have come into existence. Where did we come from? Why are we here and where are we heading? This is the explanation from Allah, our Creator, our Sustainer, one who loves us more than we can love ourselves. And we have come here not for eternity. Even though we love life, our parents tasted the fruit, the forbidden fruit of the tree, because Shaytan made them believe that you will become angels and you will live forever. You will enjoy everlasting life. In our desire for an everlasting life, our parents also tasted from the tree. And we, on earth, we want the same. We want everlasting life. But Allah has warned us that none of you will live forever. Every one of you will taste death. And you are here on earth only to be tested by Allah. This is the purpose of our existence. And Allah Azza wa Jal hasn't just created man and woman for this purpose. In fact, Allah has created the universe. Allah has created the heavens and the earth. Allah has created the very concept of life and death in order for us to be tested. Allah says in a verse of the Qur'an, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. In Surah Al-Mulk, in the very beginning, Allah says, Blessed and glorified be He, in whose hands is the kingdom, is all dominion. And He is all powerful over all things. He who has created death and life. Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا So that He may test you to see who amongst you is the best of deeds. Is the best of deeds. So the very purpose of the creation of the heavens and the earth and life and death itself is to be tested. For us to be tested. Who amongst you follows the way of Allah and who amongst you follows the way of shaitan. Now, we find ourselves here. Generation after generation. Group after group, nation after nation, and we have all the same origin, and we all have the same purpose and the same destiny. Now when we turn around and we look at the world around us, and we look at ourselves, and we ask ourselves, man and woman, why am I here? What am I doing here? What's my goal and objective in life? What's my purpose of life? Why do I find myself on planet Earth? As I said, we have two stories before us, two philosophies before us, two lifestyles before us, two ways of life before us, and two explanations. One of Allah and one of Shaitan. And today, if we follow the trends of society, if we follow the reasoning and the philosophy of wider society, then we will only be following the way of shaitan. Because the philosophy that is prevalent today of our existence, of the purpose of life, is that we have no divine and celestial origins. We have no divine and celestial destination. We have no heaven to return to. There is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no life after death, there is no reckoning, there is no life in the grave. Once a person dies, that's it. It's complete darkness, non-existence. The person is a non-entity. We will feel nothing, experience nothing. We won't know anything. It'll just be a rest of peace. And there was nothing before us, there is nothing after us. So enjoy the life that you've got. You have a few days here, enjoy life whilst you're alive. Enjoy the time that you have on earth. This is a philosophy. Well, this is why society has become so hedonistic. The whole purpose of life in society today is the pursuit of pleasure. Look at the slogans. Life is about liberty, happiness, enjoyment, and the pursuit of pleasure. Self-fulfillment. The fulfillment of dreams and ambitions and goals and objectives. And what are those goals and objectives? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A few days ago, I was travelling and I picked up a newspaper at the airport. It wasn't a tabloid newspaper. I don't read tabloid trash. It was a free newspaper that was being distributed by the airline. And I picked up a copy of the Financial Times. Very dull and boring newspaper. Now, I don't even read the Financial Times. But the only reason I picked it up was probably, out of all the newspapers available, it's maybe the most decent one. So, lots of figures, statistics, facts, numbers, and symbols of dollars and pounds and euros, nothing else. So, I picked up the Financial Times, and just to pass time, I was reading it. And I came across an article. And I was shocked, even in the Financial Times, there was this article. And the article spoke about the ambitions and the dreams of young girls in the UK. There was a survey, I don't know how many people were interviewed in this survey, but a very vast and extensive survey was conducted by one of these organisations. And they spoke to many, many young girls, teenage girls and young women in the UK. This survey was carried out only in the UK. Some of the questions were, what are your ambitions in life? What do you wish to become? And what are your dreams? And who are your role models? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The survey concluded that almost 80 or more than 80% of the young women in this country, their ambitions are, their loftiest ambition is, their dreams are to become supermodels. And their role models are these same scantily dressed, provocative seductresses. These women who live by exposing themselves, by unclothing themselves, by making a shameful exposure of themselves, these women who are an embarrassment to themselves and to their families and to mankind in general, who live by displaying and using and allowing others to exploit their flesh, almost 80% of the young women in this country now in 2005, these are their role models, these are the women they wish to become, they aspire to become. And I don't know if any of you have detected the connection. Just as Iblis deceived our parents and unclothed them in Jannah, as a result of which we came to the earth, Iblis is continuing with his mission. He wishes to unclothe us, disgrace us, and shame us in exactly the same manner that he shamed our parents. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. Allahu Akbar. Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, O mankind, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ. Do not let the devil, do not let shaitan deceive you. Just as كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, just as he expelled your parents from paradise. What did he do? Allah says, يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. He stripped both your parents of their clothes so that their nakedness and their shamefulness, their nakedness and their unclothed nature and their shame could be exposed to each other. Allah then says, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. O children of Adam, O mankind, Iblis, Shaitan, he and his army, they all see you in a manner that you do not see them. Iblis and his whole army, they understand us, they see us, they deal with us, they play with us, they deceive us, and they play with our minds and our emotions in a manner that we will never be able to grasp or understand. And they see us in a very different manner to which we are able to see them. So, subhanAllah, this is the loftiest goal. This is the loftiest and the noblest aspiration of a British woman. That she wishes to become a supermodel. And her role models are, and I don't want to repeat some of the names. I can only recall one or two. But there was a list of supermodels. And not just innocent supermodels, but the worst kind, the ones whose exploits, whose adventures, whose sinful lifestyles fill the tabloid trash newspapers. These are the role models of almost 80% of teenagers and young women in this country. And Iblis is behind all of this, undoubtedly. He wants to fulfill his mission. He will ensure that just as we were unclothed and unshamed, our parents were so in Jannah, he wishes to do the same to us in the dunya, and he wishes to lead us along this life, so that he's not a loner. He's very insecure, he wants company in hell. He doesn't want to be alone. And he wants us for company in Jahannam. So he drags us along. These are the promises of Shaitan. These are the false promises of Shaitan. When he told Allah, oh Allah, I will lead mankind astray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him leeway. Allah granted him a lease that you are at liberty to do what you want for a given amount of time. Arouse amongst them whom you can to follow you. Deceive amongst them whom you can to follow you. And take them with you into Jahannam. And whoever does follow you, then Allah says, I will most assuredly, I will fill Jahannam with you and your compatriots. And that's what Iblis, that's what Shaitan is out to do. He wants our purpose of life to be a hedonistic one. Sheer pleasure, sinfulness, enjoyment and deprivation. And that's what many of us are following. That's the lifestyle that we are pursuing. We are taught by society, by media around us. We are taught by wider society that what should a young Muslim woman, A young Muslim woman in this society, what should be her dreams? What should be her goals, her objectives, her aspirations, her purpose of existence, her purpose in life, her final destiny? What is it? And this is a message that our young girls, our young women are receiving. And the promise is, you follow this lifestyle. You pursue the dunya. You enjoy your life on earth. And Shaytan has promised us wealth, health, felicity, bliss, happiness, enjoyment, serenity, tranquility of the heart, peace of mind, everything. And sometimes we search for these things even in halal things. You know, I'm not saying that every single young Muslim woman has ignoble ambitions. No. But sometimes we are deceived by Shaytan, even when we are not committing sins, by pursuing a lifestyle or focusing on the dunya in such a way, even though it may be apparently permissible. So we all want careers, education, a good house, a good family, a good marriage, a good lifestyle, a good existence. Again, although none of these things are haram, modern day society has created a very romantic, ideal, utopian, idyllic, unrealistic picture of life. The perfect marriage, the perfect romance, the perfect family, perfect health, perfect looks, happiness, enjoyment, accomplishments, ambitions, a perfect career, lots and lots of wealth, a perfect social life. And one is supposed to follow this throughout life till one's death, and then even a perfect retirement, and then a perfect death, and a very happy and perfect burial. That is not life. This is society's promise. This is the glitter and the glamour and the external cosmetics of life that have been presented to us. Shaytan has given us these promises that this is what you will achieve. But all of it, as Allah has vowed in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The worldly life is nothing but a means of deception. Allah uses exactly the same words. In Jannah, Iblis, Shaytan told her father and mother, "Why your Lord? Do you know why your Lord has prevented you from approaching this tree? The only reason he has done so is that if you partake of the fruit of this tree, if you eat the fruit of this tree, you will both become angels and you will also enjoy everlasting life." And then Allah says, "Fadallah waqasamahuma inni lakuma lamina an-nasihin." Iblis swore to them. He pleaded with them. He pleaded his innocence and his sincerity. And he swore to them that, "By Allah, I am sincere in the advice that I dispense to you. I am sincere in guiding you to the right path. I am sincere in what I am saying to you." And Allah then says, "Fadallahuma bighurur." He led them astray. He misguided them through deception. The same word ghurur Allah uses to describe the worldly life in more than one verse of the Quran. Just as Iblis's words were nothing but deception and a mirage for our parents in Jannah, as a result of which they were banished from Jannah, Iblis's words, his promise, are nothing but deception for us in the dunya. And that promise which he made to Allah, that, "Oh Allah, I will take them to hell with me." And Allah said, "Fine, you have your lease. You have your liberty to do what you want." Allah actually told him, as is mentioned in Surah Al-Isra. Allah said, "وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا." Allah says, "Shaytan, arouse from amongst them whomever you can through your voice, and gather against them your infantry and your cavalry, and become a shareholder with them in their children and in their wealth." And Shaytan, "Wa'idhum," promise them, give them hope and give them promises. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah says, and Shaytan does not promise them anything except deception. Now what's the meaning of that? Allah said, "Oh Shaytan, arouse from whomever amongst mankind you can with your voice, bisawtik, your voice." The ulama have explained that the voice of Shaitan, which he uses to arouse mankind, men and women, is music. Music is the voice of Shaitan. And what does music do? I'm not going to speak about music, that's not the topic. The topic is ambitions of a Muslim woman. And it's connected, it's related. I'll explain how. Music, pop music, all kinds of music, especially pop music. It's full of songs with lewd lyrics. And lyrics that even the most innocent, peaceful of these songs are about love and romance. Unattainable love and romance. Unrealistic love and romance. And our men and women, they listen to these songs for many of their teenage years. And they watch these movies, especially Asian movies, which, just like the songs, portray a very unrealistic, idyllic, utopian picture of life. Perfect girl meets perfect boy, they have a perfect romance, a perfect marriage, a perfect family, and everybody lives happily ever after. And when our young minds are filled with such rubbish of perfect romances, of perfect lives, of perfect marriages, of perfect enjoyment on earth, then this is exactly what our children, girls and boys, this is exactly what our young women long for, they lust for, they aspire to. These are their ambitions. And this is what they work towards. And all of it is a deception. All that's being done is that our minds, our hearts, our emotions are being played with, are being toyed with. We are being aroused and then our dreams are being dashed. Our hopes are being raised and then they are being dashed. Our ambitions are being fueled and then we become dejected and depressed when they aren't realized. When we realize a deception, even in a meager manner, we become depressed and dejected. And this is what the whole of the industry of the media and society is doing. They are fueling our ambitions, fueling our dreams, giving us false hopes and false aspirations, giving us a very unrealistic, almost impossible picture and portrayal of life. And that's the life we aspire to, we aim for, we want, we desire. And we've lost our sense of purpose, and we've lost our sense of direction. So Allah says, O Shaytan, arouse from amongst them whom you can through your voice. Music. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكْ وَرَجِلِكْ And amass against mankind your cavalry and your infantry, Allahu Akbar. These are the forces of the devil. These different forces of the devil that work against us. Allah has described them as being His infantry and His cavalry. وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ And become a shareholder with them, in their children and in their wealth. If our children are not exclusively for the sake of Allah, their lives, their dreams, their futures, their goals and aspirations, our cultivation of their careers, our promotion of their lives and careers, if all of this, the children and their lives, their hopes and their dreams, if all of this is not for the sake of Allah entirely, then even if there's a minute portion of a few percent, that few percentage comes under the control of Shaitan. Shaitan becomes a shareholder in the lives of our children. And he shares the ownership, the guardianship, and the custody of the parents, with the parents of the children. And when our wealth is not exclusive for the sake of Allah, our learning, our yearning for wealth, our earning of wealth, our spending of that wealth, our hoarding and amassing that wealth, if all of this is not exclusively and entirely for the sake of Allah, even if there's just a minute portion of it which is free for Shaitan to control, then he becomes a shareholder in our wealth. And when Shaitan becomes a shareholder in our wealth, you can imagine the havoc that he will wreak in our lives, in our wealth, and on our children. And that's what Allah means when He says, وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Shaytan, become a shareholder with them in their wealth and in their children. And then finally in this verse Allah says, وَعِدْهُمْ And promise them. And indeed, shaitan is promising us. We look around as shaitan promises us so much. Do this and you will see eternal happiness, enjoyment, you will enjoy everlasting life, etc., etc. Live a long life, enjoy life, pursue liberty, life, happiness, enjoyment. Allahu Akbar. None of the shaitan's promises, none of society's promises can ever come true. Because Allah says himself, وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And shaitan does not promise them anything except ghurur, exactly the same word that Allah described and used for the act of deception that shaitan committed against our parents in Jannah. Shaitan does not promise them anything, Allah says, except deception. And Allah says this of men as well. Lest someone says that, well, you're talking about the devil. But isn't the devil responsible for the misguidance of society? Isn't the devil responsible for the promiscuity of society? Isn't the devil responsible for the shamelessness and for the licentiousness and for the permissiveness that permeates the whole of our society? Isn't the devil responsible for that? And the devil, once he has taught his army consists of both jinn as well as men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of such people who make similar false promises as shaitan on behalf of shaitan, Allah says, بَلْ إِن يَعِدُ الظَّالِمُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Nay, the sinful ones, they also give each other promises, but these promises are naught but deception. Exactly the same word. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the same word to describe shaitan's deception of our parents in paradise, as a result of which they were banished from Jannah. He promised them so much. He promised them that they would become angels. He promised them that they would enjoy everlasting life. He made this promise to our parents in deception. They were deceived by him. And as a result, Allah banished them from Jannah. We hear shaitan makes us exactly the same promises. And he gives us the same deception. And those men from amongst the army of shaitan, they employ the same tactics and they make the same promises. They give us the same false hopes, dreams and aspirations. They fuel the same illegal, undesirable, sinful ambitions. And they also employ the same tactics of ghurur, of deception. And of all of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of it is false. Their promises are false, their deception is false. It is naught but deception. Now, as Muslim women, okay, so we shouldn't follow the ways of the devil. We shouldn't be deceived by the ambitions and the aspirations that the devil whispers into our hearts and minds. So who should we follow? Who should we take as role models? What lifestyle should we follow? What should be the purpose of our existence? What is our destiny? Where is our destination?